You're listening to Paddle Up, Little Adventures with Lisa and Craig.
We're a married couple that believe in the power of experiences, because experiences are what lead to an impactful life. Now, let's brace for impact.
Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 10, Play Free.
Holy cow, it's been a minute here since we've gotten in front of these microphones, hasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of feels weird. Like, what is this thing in front of me?
Gosh, we had to actually find the microphones and the podcasting equipment because we actually lost track of them.
Well, that's for another episode down the road of how we lost them.
Yeah. Sorry for the long delay, folks. We've had some life kick up here in amongst our normal little adventures, mainly of which we've decided to relocate. Bit of a teaser there. We'll come back to that maybe in a future episode because we don't want to get too far behind here. We're intending to pick up where we left off, a good 3 months ago.
Yeah, around December of 2023, right?
You're right. December 20. It seems like yesterday, but when you do the mental math, it's like, wow, that's like a quarter of a year ago already.
I know. My New Year's resolution for 2023 was to do one episode a month, so that would have brought us to 12 in a year, and we're a little behind here, honey, because we're only on 10, and it's March of 2024.
Yeah, so we're going to try to get back on track here. So apologies again. Thanks for sticking with us, and let's get back at it, shall we?
Yeah, so what happened in December? Actually, the first weekend in December, we played a pickleball tournament.
Yeah, so this episode, we decided to name or title Play Free, and we'll get to the why that is here in a moment, but going into December of 23, we kind of said that wrong. So with pickleball, you guys have heard before, we've had a pretty good run so far. I guess to summarize, if you haven't listened to previous episodes, we decided to play tournaments together, which was generally ill-advised.
Because we're married.
Most people tell us, don't do that. You don't want to be a partner with your partner, your significant other, because that usually leads to bad juju in terms of relationship stuff. It tends to carry over not in a great way. But we decided to give it a run anyway, and we had pretty good success. We played a lot of 3-5 tournaments and then got into the 4-0s in 2022 and really kind of ran the table in 22. I think we won everything we entered. And yeah, we had a really good run. But then come 2023, we hit up some bumps in the road there, really, and we don't know why. I don't think. Maybe you do, but more than I do, because you tend to have a better intuition with that stuff. But
I'll keep that hidden inside, deep, dark within my soul.
Didn't really scratch a lot of medal stands in 23. I think we won one tournament, and that was the only medal we had in 2023. So I think we talked about this a little bit in the most recent episodes, is that we were struggling a little bit up and down with that. And so in fall of 23, we were looking at each other going, man, this has been a bit of a struggle here, experiencing some of that bad juju that people had warned us about. So we thought, okay, there's one big tournament coming up in December that we had our eye on, and that was the APP US Indoor Championships in Chicago. And so those tend to fill up pretty quick. They're pretty popular when the pro tours, you know, stop by your town or close by to your hometown. So we decided to sign up. And again, that was back in like, I don't know, August, September.
And it was while we were struggling, but we thought, hey, that's close by us. It's a big tournament. Let's sign up for it before it books up and get a hotel room before those book up.
And coupled with that, we decided that in parallel with playing this one more tournament, after this tournament, we were going to take a bit of a break of playing pickleball together in tournaments, right?
Yeah, we were still going to play recreational and open plays, but we were going to take a break, a hiatus, from playing in tournaments together, because whenever you come up against something that's challenging in your life, sometimes the best course is to just stop, pause, do some reflection, and make a path forward. So that's kind of what we decided together. I don't think it was my decision. I don't think it was Craig's decision. I think we mutually kind of came to that conclusion that we didn't want to get on each other's nerves that much more. So maybe we should just stop and take a breath and maybe do some introspection on both of our parts to kind of see where we could get better, but get better while we don't play pickleball together in a tournament setting.
Yeah, it just felt like the right thing to do at the time. We just didn't, like you just said, we didn't want to get too over the top with our struggles and have it really start to impact our day-to-day relationship. So we said, okay, let's take a breath. Let's play one more tournament here because we've signed up for it and you can't get your money back.
No, it was a non-refundable hotel room. That was the trigger. I was like, well, maybe we shouldn't play in this tournament. And then I'm like, oh, I already paid for the hotel room. I guess we're going, Craig.
Right.
But with that said, we looked at each other and we said, no pressure on each other. We are going to decide to play free. Hence the title of this episode. We were going to give each other more support, give each other more grace, and we were just going to focus on having fun with each other. Because there's a reason why we're married. We literally have fun together. We enjoy each other's company, even after a decade being together. And so we literally took the pressure off of ourselves by saying, hey, let's just go in there. Let's have a good time. We love each other. What could go wrong? Or in this case, what could go right?
And in addition to that, I think we had been adding more and more and more tactical data and thought points and game plans into our tournament play. You know, when you start out, you're thinking, okay, just hit a good third shot drop or hit a good cross court dink. But then you're saying, well, if this person doesn't attack or come up from the return, then you roll a forehand to their feet, then you start adding more and more things. And I think throughout 2023, and this is probably my fault more than yours,
because no.
I watch a lot of YouTube and I'm always reading on articles on the X's and O's, the tactical side. And I think we had added so much things to remember or to leverage during play that I think we were getting over. How do I say it? We were almost overthinking.
We were overthinking. And you'll hear a lot of really high-level pickleball players, too, that will say, just stick to the basics. So when we went into this tournament in December, we were just going to go back to the basics, just have a few basic tenets that we knew worked, and just, again, hence the title, play free. And I think not only did we take the pressure off of being perfect for each other in our pickleball play, but that took the pressure off of thinking of all these, oh, if I hit it there, they're going to hit it there, and then you're going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Yes. It took that pressure off of it. And by gosh, golly darn, it worked, Craig.
It did. We started out in a game. Our first games are usually a little bit hit or miss. A lot of people have trouble with the first game. You're trying to get into that rhythm. But we came out just blasting. We rolled the first team. And
they were a good team.
Yeah. And I guess to make it long story short, we never really let up. We went through the entire round robin bracket or a round robin phase undefeated.
Yep.
Which was, we did not see coming.
No, it kind of blindsided us. We had some really good games, but never at a point where it got us worried. I remember one game though that I had to maybe calm you down a little bit because I tried to be supportive when things aren't going right and just, you know, tell Craig to take a breath. But yet, even in this tournament, I usually kind of get a little, how should I say it, perturbed. I don't know any other better way to say it. When Craig, in the middle of a game, tells me coaching tips like, cross court, honey, cross court. And he said that to me a couple of times in this tournament. And I was like, okay, yeah, yep, that's what I needed to do. Sorry about that. And I just rolled with it more than I ever had in the past. So again, I think taking that pressure off of us helped both of us, even when I helped you through some tough times and you helped me through some tough times. We took it as wanting the better player or the best play out of each player and not taking it personally. So again, a lot of good takeaways from this tournament.
And so like I said, we had just gotten through the round robin phase undefeated. And then the top teams in each of the pools then went to a bracket. And then the bracket was like a single elimination playoff all the way up to a gold medal. And how'd that go?
Well, we ended up playing a team that we had already beat pretty handily. So we were pretty confident going in. And it
that
was
we had beat in the round robin. We had
correct.
Beat, yep. And where were we playing him? What match is this?
This is a gold medal match.
Ah, okay.
All right. So drum roll, please. I'm not very good at that, but that's the best you're going to get out of me. So we were playing the team that we had already beaten in the round robin, as Craig said, and we had to win 2 out of 3 to win the gold, and we won the first, won the second, which was pretty amazing, because I think we won it on a shot, if my memory serves correctly, because I'm getting old. Wasn't it me going down the line?
No.
See, I'm getting old.
The point is, we won the gold medal match in 2 games.
Yeah, because if we wouldn't have won if the other team would have won 2 out of 3, then they would have had to beat us one more time because we had beaten them in the round robin to a game of 15. And I think I jumped into your arms so quickly after that last shot because it pretty much dawned on me, oh my gosh, we won the gold medal in the indoor championships.
U.S. indoor championships. We won the darn gold medal.
I think that's the medal that is up front and center on my board now.
Yeah, it was for a couple of reasons, right? Because of the scale of it, because the size of that tournament, they had over 1,000 players there, and we usually haven't done that well in the super big tournaments.
Yeah.
But then secondly, the unexpectedness and how we, going back to our opener here and how we were struggling so bad, we said this would be our last tournament we play for a while because we just kind of almost threw it away. Like, this is just going to not go as the rest of them have, and let's move on. Here we won the darn thing.
And then we looked at each other afterwards going, well, maybe we should start playing again. I was like, no, we decided not to.
Yeah, you get into that, okay, now what? And whether to commit to your decommitment or decommit and recommit, if I'm saying that right. Oh, that was a mouthful.
No,
anyways,
that's all
right. So yeah, that was a really cool, very, very cool Sunday of mixed doubles that we did not have anticipated.
And we got to see the pros play in between because you played in the men's doubles and I played in the women's doubles
on Saturday
the day before, and so over Saturday and Sunday we got to meet some of the pros. I got to see my good friend Lee Whitwell and bring her some Culver's cheese curds. She was oh so happy about that because that's what I do, Lee. I bring you Wisconsin Culver's cheese curds.
She travels the world and she just awaits your cheese curds when she gets to the Wisconsin Illinois border.
Oh, the Midwest area. And one of the other things that I just want the listeners to, you know, I'm an extrovert, so it doesn't bother me at all going up to random people that I don't know about and asking them questions, even so much as going up to a pro player. So backing up a little bit during the round robin.
No, it was in the bracket before the gold medal match.
Oh, before the gold medal match. I was having some difficulty with a one particular shot, and I was walking down the fairway, I'll call it, of the convention center.
The concourse.
Yeah. And I saw Simone Jargim. And I'm like, I'm going to go up to her and ask her.
And if you don't know who Simone is, she's one of the most decorated, I'll say legendary pickleball players in the pro sport in its history.
In its history, yeah. She was the original GOAT before Anna Lee.
Yep.
And so I went up to her and I said, you know, I just walked up and said, can I ask you a question? And she said, sure. And I explained the situation of how I was kind of getting beat on this one shot. And she said, here's what you do. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to give me the golden nugget. And by gosh, golly, she gave me the golden nugget. She's like, you do this. You make sure you tell Craig to do this because he's your partner. So he needs to know what you're doing. And this is what a lot of women will do when they play in mixed doubles, when they're dinking back and forth with the guy across with the female. And so I went back and I said, thank you very much. I went and told Craig, okay, I'm going to do this in the gold medal match. It worked perfectly. You knew what I was doing because we had communicated. You executed their next shot because you were ready in the middle. And I remember getting our gold medal and I see Simone sitting down on the concrete outside the championship court. And I literally walked up to her, sat down and gave her a huge hug. She knew exactly what it was. And I said, it worked. I said, look at the gold medal. And she was so happy. I have the best picture. Thank you, Craig, because you had your camera there, of her hugging me, both of us smiling from ear to ear because she gave me advice. She knew I had listened to her, but I had also shared it with you, communicated it with you, and I executed it. Well, I should say we executed it perfectly in a very tenseful gold medal match. And so don't be afraid, I guess is my point, to go up to some of these pros because in the end, they want the sport to grow.
They're pickleball players.
And they are excited to share. Yeah. I'm not a competition for them. Simone would beat my butt. And I know that, but I'd probably have the most fun if she beat my butt and I was on a court with her. But they really do want to see other players succeed and rise. So don't be afraid to do that.
Well, I think in addition to the little tactical nugget she gave you, it was just the fact that here's this legendary pro just talking shop with you. I think I like to think that actually kind of pumped you up a little bit. Like, oh, wow. I mean, it's all, you're swimming in the same waters as all these other professionals, players. And they're all, again, we're all in it together. I don't know. You just seemed energized after talking to her. I think she could have told you how to go mow the grass and you would have came back with the same energy, not the technical know-how, obviously, but the same energies from having that interaction and just almost like your best buds. Like everybody's there. Everybody's there for the same reason.
That is one thing that we have seen in the APP tournaments. They are so warm and welcoming. I don't know how to describe it.
Very fraternal.
Yes. I mean, Ken and Dana, I mean, we both talked to them. Ken Herman almost wanted to give me a hug. Like I was going back 20 years with him.
Ken Herman is who?
The owner.
The owner of the entire tour.
APP.
The commissioner, the owner.
He came up to me. He's like, hi, Lisa. I was like, how do you remember me? Like, I haven't seen you in like months. But Dana, who runs all the APP tournaments.
Dana Joseph.
Yep.
She's tournament director.
She is just amazing. If you've ever had an opportunity to meet her, talk with her, get to know her, please do so. But her and Ken are the reasons why Craig and I keep going back to APP tournaments, because you just have this family feel, even though it's high level, competitive pickleball. It's just the culture that they create wherever they land, whatever city they're in, because we've played in Cincinnati, an APP tournament. We've played in Chicago. We've played in Milwaukee. So it doesn't matter where their pin is on the map.
Utah, Indianapolis.
Yeah, the list goes on and on. It's just one of the reasons we keep going back is because of the atmosphere that they create each and every time.
We've gone to and played in both of the competing pro tours, and the APP one just feels like I said it earlier, it's like it's very fraternal. It feels like a rolling family reunion every time you go there.
That's a great way to put it.
It's just cool.
Not to mention that, what was your new mantra, Craig, after this tournament?
Oh, I was a mantra, but after we won the gold medal, I disclosed to you.
And now we're saying it to everybody.
A lot of players have like a certain like pump up song or pump up music they play or chill out music or whatever it is. I don't know why. I really, really don't know why. But before the gold medal match, actually throughout the whole bracket, the playoff bracket, to be honest, I had the song Mr. Brightside playing in my head at full volume, like at a concert. I've never been to the Killers concert, but that, for some reason, I was sitting at a concert of theirs and they were playing that song over and over and everybody's jumping up and down, and that was just in my head. And every time between points, the music was to get going, everybody started jumping up and down in my brain. It just loosened me up. I can't tell you why, but it works like a charm.
So for those of you that are out there listening in the audience, if you don't know that song, go look it up on Spotify and you'll know what was rolling through Craig's head the entire tournament.
Right, right.
It was a long day though. I mean,
it was a long weekend.
We had started, I'm just talking about our mixed doubles on Sunday. We started at 10 a.m. and we did not finish that gold medal match until 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, which is most of the bigger tournaments, because there's just a lot of matches that the tournament has to crank through on all the courts. So yeah, you can wait quite a bit between matches or between the round robin and the playoff, or even between playoff matches. It can take some time. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were coming off playing on Saturday too. I played with a good friend in 4-0 women's doubles. We didn't do as well as we wanted to, but you played in men's doubles on Saturday too. So that's always a little bit of a,
and I went as a blind date. So I signed up as a single and got paired up with somebody, and that's always tough.
That's tough.
But we tried it and had a good time. Had a heck
and
of a time.
Good people. Got to meet his wife. Yep. Really good folks. But that is hard when you're playing with somebody for the very first time and you don't know how they play in a major tournament. That's really a lot to ask of anybody. But all in all, Saturday, we played our hearts out. Didn't do as well as we wanted to with each of our partners, but had a great time. And that's one of the things we love about pickleball is just the fact that it's a social sport and you get to meet other high competitive players and it gets you into different groups.
Yeah, just because we decided to not play tournaments together doesn't mean we're not going to play tournaments or we don't like tournaments. We really highly recommend for anybody who does play pickleball, recreational or socially, and you're not sure about the aspect or the idea of playing a tournament, please go play tournaments.
There's a lot of benefits to playing tournaments. So we're not trying to say that, like Craig said, we're never going to play in them again.
Oh, gosh.
It is, when we started playing tournaments, it was one of the most exciting, exhilarating, stressful,
nerve-wracking,
all of these emotions that you possibly could experience.
But adrenaline-inducing.
All racing inside of you all at the same time. Yeah. But as you play more and more tournaments, you will loosen up a little bit more. You'll get used to the tournament play. But one of the biggest benefits, I think, that we've come away with is just the networking that we are able to do. For instance, after winning that gold medal match, I got into a text thread with some really good women pickleball players up here in the southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois area. And boy, has that opened up some doors for me. And likewise, you've gotten invited to some really high-level pickleball games after that as well.
Well, yeah, but to your women thing, it's not even just to open the doors. It's just the fun play because we get to play people at or above your level. That's where everybody wants to be at. And by playing at these tournaments, even if you don't do well, if you have a good attitude and are willing to just hobnob with people, like to your point, you got into the women's advanced text threads. I got invited. So this funny story, and you talk about the community that's built at these tournaments. The couples we beat, so that the couples that took the silver medal, second place, and the bronze medal, third place, both of which we beat either in the round robin and or the bracket. Those two couples, actually, after the tournament was over, everybody got their medals. They actually asked us to stay with them because they were friends. They were fairly local to each other in the Chicago area. They asked us to actually come over and watch the rest of the Sunday, the championship Sunday pro matches at the championship court, and to go out to dinner with them after we all went to war for the entire day.
If that's not a testament to the camaraderie, even after, you know, losing to us, they're just really good people.
To this day, I mean, we're recording this, what, in mid-March or second weekend of March? I just got a text today from the male member of the second place team that we beat in the gold medal match saying, hey, you guys can be up in the Minnesota area for the PPA tournament up there. And you just get in touch with these folks, you know, because for the most part, everybody's there just to have a good time. They want to compete, obviously, and try to get some hardware, but it's really just about playing and hanging out and fraternizing. And that definitely occurs if you have the right attitude
Speaking to having the right attitude, too, even after you get done post-match, if you start just talking to your opponents, they'll usually divulge, you know, the tactics that they were using against you and vice versa. And that just makes you a better player and couple, our mixed doubles, because we're like, oh, we did not see that. We need to work on that.
There is almost no better self-scouting. A big trend today is everybody records themselves with GoPros or their phones and goes back and puts them on YouTube or sits and watch them. But even with that, you're watching it with your own eye. One of the best things we found is after a tournament, particularly after you get beat in a tournament, just go up to them and you don't have to like corner them and ask them, give them the third degree, but really just, hey, what did you see there? What got you to a victory against us? You know, what weaknesses did you see? What were we doing that was stupid or other?
Yeah, they'll say, well, Lisa was hugging middle, so I went behind her. Or this is, when you did that, we knew to do this.
Or Craig, your third shot drop today was terrible. Maybe it's fed you all day, man. Like, okay, thanks. But because you're in a tournament, they've beat you, they're moving on, they don't care anymore. They're usually more than happy to at least give you a sentence or two of what it was that they saw that lent them to beating you that day.
Yeah, but overall, a wonderful experience at the APP U.S. Indoor Championships in Chicago, Illinois in December. Not just because we won the gold medal, but just because we had fun hanging out and seeing old friends that we have played in previous tournaments in the Chicagoland area, and we had the opportunity to play with them. We had the opportunity to sit and watch the pros both on Saturday and Sunday, whether it was women's doubles, men's doubles. We saw a little bit of mixed doubles on Sunday, but we were playing in the tournament. And just all in all, just having a really good time.
It's complete immersion. I mean, even on Saturday, I went on a blind date, played as a single. I got hooked up with a guy and we played in men's 4-5, which is pretty advanced amateur. And it's a double elimination. And so if you lose two matches, you're out. Well, we went 0-2. We were done with an hour and a half.
Yeah,
didn't
very
care.
Quick.
Had a great time. I actually met a couple guys from Chicago. We talked to them. And then the rest of the day, we just hung out and just talking to the pros and watching pickleball. And just it's a fun day.
And something else too is you do gain experience with pressure situations. So tournaments are they're a pressure situation. If you looked it up in the dictionary, it probably says pressure. Number one, a pickleball tournament next to it. But one of the things that I've heard and has stuck with me is that everything you ever wanted is on the other side of fear, or is on the other side of the wall of fear. And I heard that for the first time and I went, wow, that's something I kind of want to live by. And you kind of heard something similar too, Craig.
It was a podcast. I think the gentleman's name was Todd Herman. He was being interviewed on a podcast. But you go back to your definition of pressure, and it's a pickleball tournament. What he said was really enlightening to me, in that pressure in of itself just really doesn't exist in this world. We as humans make it up. It's purely relative or subjective to how you're seeing or approaching a thing. And if you approach it with fear and with apprehension, you create the pressure for yourself. It's not like the tournament. You walk in, the tournament puts this big old pressure, weighted pressure vest on you. That doesn't exist. There is no pressure there. The pressure was how you perceive the moment.
Right.
And that's really enlightening, because if you can take a step back from yourself and know that the amount of pressure you feel is purely based on how much you put to it. I mean, it's really on you to decide how much pressure there is. If you decide there isn't any, you really do well and truly have that power to modulate the amount of pressure you feel, or the pressure that you sense in the room with you.
So one of the things I thought was really interesting, I'll use that word to describe this, even though I probably could think of a better word if I had more time. But what Craig just described and what I just described, we both heard on different days.
On our own,
away from each other. But yet we both found them so profound and so much around that fear, pressure theme that we both shared it with each other. And I'm like, hey, you told me yours first. And I was like, I just heard this too. And that is so awesome. It's almost as if we're like in sync and like we're a married couple, honey.
Well, if I can add to that too, I didn't mention this before we started recording, but it just popped in my head as we're talking here. We were watching a show on Netflix, and there was a plaque at the U.S. Open tennis grounds in Flushing Meadows, New York, where they play the U.S. Open tennis tournament. There's a plaque there. And it's a very simple plaque. All it says in quotes is, pressure is a privilege.
That was by Billie Jean King.
A quote from Billie Jean King. And going back to what I'd said, yes, pressure really doesn't exist. It's a function of your thinking and fear you intake or in place on a moment. That said, in reality, you really can't eliminate all the pressure. I mean, it sounds cool to say I can step back and say, oh, there's no pressure here, and then it all vanishes. That doesn't happen either. And there's two ends of that spectrum. So I liked what Billie Jean King said. I'll say it one more time. Pressure is a privilege. And what that means is that there's going to be some pressure. We're not infallible. We're going to feel some pressure that we put on ourselves. But at the same time, how privileged are we to be in a place like that that would induce some pressure-filled feelings? A lot of people don't even get that chance to do that. You were playing in the sporting event that has 1,000 people and even countless more people watching you. And to be brave enough to put yourself there, and to be healthy enough, and just generally fortunate enough to be there in a recreational sporting event as a participant to feel that pressure, you should almost invite some of that pressure there, because it's a sign that you're living your life that you way you want to live it. Sorry, that was a totally ad lib, but it's just like, wow, that just hit me pretty hard.
No, that's just cool. Fine. Yeah. We just need to be grateful. I just said it in three words. We need to be grateful. I guess that's five words. That's a lot of three words, but that's my LOL for this evening.
That's three letters.
Maybe I should have did it that way. Might have helped out. So one thing I do want to give a shout out to with this whole experience that we've been talking about with the APP Indoor Championships down in Chicago. We talk a lot about our pickleball community here in Southern Wisconsin and Northern Illinois. I was blown away to find out after Saturday and Sunday, our Victory Pickleball family, they were rooting for us.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get emotional. they were rooting for us. They wanted to even know if the Victory facility in Loves Park, Illinois could like put us on television. I'm like, well, they don't.
They literally
put
called
our division
us and say,
on.
What channel are you on or what stream are you
I'm
on?
Like, we're not on.
Just we're the, 4-0 amateur, like old people brackets.
Nobody's
streaming
yeah, nobody,
us.
Nobody does that. Nobody cares about that. But the fact that they all messaged us afterwards.
Oh, our phones are blown up during the whole day.
And the social threads. And I was very much, in some ways, I'm very, what's the word I'm looking for, Craig?
Grateful?
No, not grateful. I know I use that word a lot. Where I don't want you to look at your phone. I don't.
Superstitious.
Superstitious. That's the word I was looking for. I'm like, don't look at your phones. I don't want any outside influence taking away from our rhythm. So we hadn't looked at our phones. But after we won the gold medal match, we picked them up and people were, our pickleball family from Victory was like,
they were
tracking us the entire day.
Watching the scoreboard.
Watching the scoreboards, yeah. Watching the brackets online, asking if they could have us on television at Victory. So my shout out to all of you people, you're my people.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you guys.
That meant more than probably I've ever said to you. But if you listen to this podcast, just know that we appreciate you. We love you. And I feel more at home now in my 50s than I have when I was in my 30s.
Right.
And it's all because of a sport that starts with the letter P.
And the people that surround it.
And the people that surround it. Right. Let's go for alliteration.
Yeah. All right, honey. So going back to what we were talking about earlier with Play Free. So that worked like a charm for this tournament. It was like two very basic things, like hit the ball over the net and high five your partner after every point. Like that's kind of what our strategy was going into the whole tournament. And by God, it was a beautiful thing. But that carries over to us too in our daily lives as well, right?
I think so. Like when we talk about, you know, pickleball and our travels and our relationships, that Play Free in the realm of our relationship, Craig, is I think, you know, no human being is ever perfect. I hope you all get that. No human being is perfect. But I loved you from the moment I saw you, and I know you. I knew you weren't perfect, but I accepted you for who you were.
What?
Yeah, you weren't perfect. Sorry. All right. Maybe that's a first time that you've ever recognized that I've said that out loud.
Right, I'm sure. Yeah.
But you accept me for who I am, and I am a perfectionist. So for those of you that know perfectionists, we're really hard to live with. See nothing from Craig. He's staring across from me on
keep
this
talking,
podcast,
sweetie.
Not saying anything. But we've both accepted each other for who we are. And that kind of talks about being free with your partner and just accepting them for who they are.
Yeah, going back to the tournament, interweaving our daily life with pickleball, one of the people we had, I think it was the bronze medalist, but one of the couples we had beat in the tournament, you were talking to her after and she said something to you, you said.
Yeah, she looked at me and usually the women are very honest and open. And she said, you know, she also plays, I should back that up, she plays with her husband too. So she looked at Craig and I and looked at me and said, you two were so supportive of each other on that pickleball court. She says, we need to do a better job of that. And I looked at her and I might have laughed a little bit. And it wasn't about her comment. It was because that's still a work in progress for Craig and I.
It's a constant struggle.
We tried to be more and more supportive because if you go back to the beginning of this podcast, people have said it's very difficult to play with your spouse. And it is. We've had our struggles. We've talked about our struggles. And I think that's part of the reason why we weren't as successful in the middle of 2023 in our tournament play is we were just a little bit too critical of each other on both ends. So for her to say that, you know, that we were very supportive of each other, I think goes back to we had it in our mindset that we were going to play free and that we were going to support each other because everyone's going to make mistakes. And so I think we've tried to take that comment, thank you, Regina, and move that forward into 2024, even though we haven't played tournaments yet in 2024.
Not yet.
but more to come on that. But in our open play or in our rec play or in our competitive games that we've played, we have been really, really supportive of each other and really tried to work and get better at that because that is a work in progress for Craig and I, for sure. But it was very nice, Regina. We actually lived that out on that Sunday.
Yeah. And going back to the full circle thing too, it kind of made us realize that we're more than just pickleball. I know we tend to get really hung up on pickleball because we just love it so darn much. It's a passion for both of us. It sometimes, this is that danger of having your pickleball partner being your significant other, because one can start to define the other or influence the other. For example, I think the way the dynamic between you and I on the pickleball court was starting to come into our living room, our daily lives.
Correct.
I think like the criticisms or the viewpoints we had of each other were carrying or were coming through the front door into our home. And that's just not cool, because the last thing I want to do is look at you and say, well, or think, well, she's, you know, so-and-so because she doesn't hit cross court when she needs to.
Like I really want you to think other things.
Yeah, how stupid is that? And I think we were both doing that, and we think we realized that.
Yeah, but you said something to me back then that really was very profound. You probably didn't think it was profound at the time, but you said, you know, I don't want pickleball to define us. You are my partner. You are my spouse. That comes first.
Right.
Pickleball comes second.
Yep.
And that was actually on the drive home when we weren't successful in the PPA, Kansas City Open. We didn't talk for a long, long time on that long ride home, because it was 8 hours.
Long, quiet ride home.
Not that we didn't talk at all, but I bet for the first hour, hour and a half, we were pretty quiet in the car.
Yep.
And then you actually were the one first to speak and said, you are the most important thing in my life. Pickleball is second. And so we kind of drew those lines. And I think if people can wrap their heads around that or link to it, if you do play with your spouse, that please don't carry that into your home, because they are your spouse.
But that's a very, how do I say this? It's a very, manual mindset. It's something you have to really practice.
You cognitively have to have that at the forefront of your mind.
If you play a lot with your partner or your significant other, it's so easy to come home still grumbling in your head about if you lost a game or two, or if your partner wasn't doing the thing you thought that he or she should be doing. It can be very hard to leave that at the door. Walk in and not let that carry over, and when you sit down and have dinner or sit and watch TV and still have it rolling through your head. You need to be able to set that aside, leave it at the court,
mm-hmm.
and compartmentalize or partition your lives that way, because if you don't, it can lead to not good things. And that's not just pickleball, it's anything, right? You really have to see the person for the person. The other things are just extra or ancillary, or they're parts of that person, but they're not the person that you fell in love with who are committed to.
Yep. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Looking ahead.
So again, sorry for the delay in the episode here. We are going to try to get caught back up on our one per month average.
We'll try.
We'll talk a little bit. We'll talk way more about that here in coming episodes. Probably more of a focus on pickleball will be.
Life changes.
Cardboard boxes come into play. We'll talk all about that more in the near future. But again, thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience with us. We're back, and we will be recording more soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.